Okay, we're going to entitle, I'll give you a title to each psalm. You can write that down. I hope you're taking notes and get you a feel for what's in it. It's impossible to remember everything you cover. But if you take notes, you can go back and refresh your mind on occasions. So I'll give you a title for each psalm to help you in your memory. Psalm 55, we're going to title it Betrayed by a Friend. Betrayed by a Friend. Now, I think that's the occasion that he wrote this particular psalm. And to show you the reason why entitled it that, if you look down at verse 12, it says, "For it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal." That means a man of rank. Okay, a man of rank. "My guide," which means my friend, "and mine acquaintance," which means somebody that was well known to him. "We took sweet counsel together. We walked into the house of God together," or in company. So that's the reason why we entitled it Betrayed by a Friend. As I've just read to you, there had been a friend and acquaintance of him that had betrayed him in some fashion. So that's the title to this particular, that's the title to this psalm. Now the occasion when it took place, I believe, was during the rebellion of Absalom. And who I think the traitor is Ahithophel. Can y'all say that three times real fast? Ahithophel, I believe, is the one that this is referring to. Now, how many of you heard of Ahithophel? Raise your right hand. We're going to have to go look at it again. All right, let's go to the book of, I came prepared for that this evening. Let's turn to 2 Samuel chapter 15, and I'll show you who Ahithophel is. 2 Samuel chapter 15. Now, I'm sure all of you have heard of Absalom. Absalom, of course, was a son of David. And he was a son that had rebelled against his father. And he had came and he had come into Jerusalem and caused David to have to flee. He wanted to kill his dad. Can you imagine that? He wanted to kill his dad and wanted to set himself up as being king over Israel. Well, he had a lot of people that was behind him. And what ended up happening, and I'm going to read it to you, here in Jerusalem, David leaves. David leaves, and he takes his mighty men, and he leaves Jerusalem in humiliation, run from the presence of his son. And I think he did that, I've told you in time past, I think he did that because he didn't want to tear Jerusalem up with a battle. So he did remove himself from Jerusalem. And I'll go ahead and let's read some of that, if you don't care. Let's go ahead and begin at verse 11. 2 Samuel chapter 15. "And with Absalom went 200 men out of Jerusalem that were called, and they went in their simplicity, and they knew not anything. And Absalom sent for Ahithophel, the Gilonite, David's counselor from his city, even from Gilo, while he offered sacrifices, and the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom. And there came a messenger unto David, saying, the hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom. And David said unto all his servants that were with him at Jerusalem, arise, and let us flee, for we shall not escape from Absalom. Make speed to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly, and bring evil upon us, and smite the city with the edge of the sword." So I think that's why he took the battle outside of Jerusalem. Let's read on. Let's look in chapter 15 now. Let's begin, look at verse 23. "And all the country wept with a loud voice, and all the people passed over. The king and also himself passed over the brook Kidron, and all the people passed over toward the way of the wilderness." Now look on down to verse 30. "And David went up by the ascent of Mount Olivet," the Mount of Olives, "and wept as he went up." Now look at the great king. Look how hard of a time. Now this is when he wrote this psalm, I believe, along this time frame. "And David went up by the ascent of Mount Olivet. He wept as he went up. He had his head covered. He went barefoot, and all the people that was with him covered every man his head. And they went up weeping as they went up." You talk about being in a hard situation this man was. And notice on top of all that, look at the news he gets. And one told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. Now let's look over to chapter. Let me get you a little base here. Let's build you a little base, and then we'll move on. Okay? It says in 2 Samuel 16, it says in verse 23, it says, the counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as if a man had inquired at the oracle of God. I mean, he was the best counselor you could possibly have. And when he said it, that was the wisest counsel you could get from anybody. So it compared his counsel to the oracle of God. I mean, it was that solid of counsel that he gave. And so was all the counsel of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom. Okay, so that's the man that we're speaking of. Now, I'm not going to take time to go back and show you all this, but from study, and you can study this yourself, it seems that Ahithophel was the grandfather of Bathsheba. So I imagine that he had an axe to grind with David. He was the grandfather of Bathsheba. Now, I can prove that at a later date. I got the scriptures for it, but I got so much ground to cover, I don't want to do that. So I imagine that's one of the reasons why that he betrayed him. That's one of the reasons, I'm sure, why he betrayed him. But he did. But for a long time, he had been David's chief counselor. And now when the rebellion has taken place, he moved over, and he moved himself with the conspirators. Okay? Now, I think that's the occasion of Psalms 55. So you know a little bit about the occasion, then you can get a little bit of insight into the words in this song that David wrote in Psalms 55. All right, the title was Betrayed by a Friend. The occasion was Absalom's rebellion. His chief counselor, the traitor in this text, I believe, is Ahithophel, who had went with Absalom in the rebellion and had it before been David's friend. It had been his chief counselor and so on. Okay? Let me give you an outline now. You ready for an outline? Verses 1 through 8, David's distress. Verses 1 through 8 is David's distress. Verses 9 through 15 is David's traitor. Who's the traitor? Ahithophel. And then verses 16 through verse 23, David's refuge. Okay, so you write those down, and then that'll give you a little taste of what's in the psalm. You just get that much, and it can remind you what's there. Okay, let's begin to look at his distress. He says, give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Now, we'll talk more about prayer here in just a little bit. Let's move into verse 2. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint, and I make a noise. So as we're looking at David's distress, he says that he's mourning. And it says that he's making a noise. Now, sometimes I've seen people cry, and I've cried myself many occasions, and you'll cry and it's silent. You know, you're shedding tears. But he was crying hard and making a noise. That's why I put that here. This was a sobbing that he was due, that he was doing. His heart, folks, his heart was broke. Now, I think you can understand why, as we've read the background of this particular text. His own son wanted to kill him. Wanted to usurp the throne and take his place. And on top of that, he just didn't have a few conspirators with him, but it said all the men of Israel, many of the people of Israel had turned with Absalom and turned against King David. King David's life, of course, was dedicated to the Lord, but he loved his people. He loved his people. And many of the people had turned their back on David and were now following Absalom. Now, you just take those two things, and that would be hard enough. Then he has to leave Jerusalem. He leaves Jerusalem in humiliation, and he's barefoot, and he's mourning, and all the people's doing the same thing with him. And then on top of all that, all of this has happened to you in one day. Then on top of all that, here comes a servant and says, hey, David, Ahithophel's he's with the conspirators too. And that just overwhelmed his heart, I think. Just one thing right after you talk about a bad day, that was indeed a rough day. Have you ever had a day quite like that? I haven't. Boy, if you've had a day like that, then that's a miserable day. I've never had a son try to kill me yet. I've never had to flee a city because people sought my death. But here his chief friend, or one of his best friends, a guide to him and so on, had now betrayed him and had went with the conspirators. And can I throw a little something else in there? One of the reasons this happened was because of his sin. Whose sin? David's. Remember 2 Samuel chapter 12? One of the judgments upon him because he committed adultery with Bathsheba was that he would have war in his household. And this is exactly what you see happening. Don't you think he thought about that in his mind as he was leaving Jerusalem? A lot of this was occasioned as a result of his sin. This was one of the consequences. Did God forgive him? He sinned. He sure did. But sin also has consequences that are tagged along with it, and he still had to pay the consequences that went along with the adultery that he committed. Okay? So you can understand his mourning. Look at verse 3. Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. You know, we like for people to like us, don't we? You know, nobody likes to admit they do, but you want people to like you. I don't think we revel in being hated. Here, the people that David loved, even his own son, they hated him. They hated him. Verse 4 says, my heart is sore pained within me. It means his heart hurt. He had a heartache. I don't think he's having a heart attack. I don't think this is a physical pain that was aching. I just think his heart ached at the pressures of a son that turned his back on him and a nation that was turning their back on him. Okay? It says, the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. Folks, this is a man that he was in pretty dire straits, you might say. He was hurting. He was anguished. He was mourning. He was weeping. And then we come to a popular part of this psalm, verse 6. Oh, that I had wings like a dove. Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and I'd be at rest. That's what he says. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and the tempest. Folks, have you ever felt that way? I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. The pressure was so great on him. He was in such dire straits. He was in such a hard situation. Now he says, oh, that I had wings like a dove and I would fly out of here. Away from all of these problems, away from all of these trials, away from this bad situation. Have you ever felt that way before? I've been in pressure situations and been in time not nowhere near compared to what David went through. But I'm sure at one time or the other, different problems or different pressures or different trials of life have left you with that same frame of mind where you said, oh, if I could just fly away and just get away from this. In modern West Virginia, and you might say it another way, we sometimes say, I've heard people say, boy, I feel like just getting in my car and just driving till she runs out of gas. And it's people just wanting to get away from the problem. And it's people that are just wanting to get away from the situation. And we felt that way. We all got to admit that one time or the other that we might have felt that way. But the bad thing about that is, folks, you can't run away from problems. One thing, when you run away from a problem, usually you take that along with you because it's right here. You can go to Hawaii if you'd like to, but if you've got a lot of problems here at home or problems here, and you can go to Hawaii and you can look at that beautiful waves coming in on the beach and you'll be thinking about your problem the whole time. You'll take it with you. And you know something else? When you come back, it'll still be here. We might have felt like David did before, want to run away and just get away, fly away and get away from this. But it will always still be there. You can't run away from your problems. Well, what are you supposed to do? How do you respond? When you feel like verses 6 through 8. What do you do? When you feel like verses 6 through 8, when you feel like you would like to have the wings of a dove and fly off and get away from all this, what do you do? Well, the answer's in the text. We're going to skip down to point number 3. We'll come back up and hit David's traitor here in just a little bit. We already know who he is anyway. That's why I did it. Let's move down into David's refuge. When you feel like verses 6 through 8, what do you do? Well, the answer is in verses 16 through 23. When you feel like you'd like to sprout wings and fly away, here's some things you need to do, and you be sure to write these things down. Are you ready? Notice what David did in verse 16. As for me, what's the first thing you would do? I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. And when we got pressures and trials and problems and cares that is burdening us down, and we don't see any way out, we're supposed to come to our God. That's one of the great privileges we have in this life. It's another of the great privileges of being saved. Is we can take cares and problems and situations that are pressure situations that we're in, and we can get alone with our God, and we can call upon His name. We don't run away from the problem, nor do we ignore and act like it doesn't exist. We get alone and call upon our God. Song Sweet Hour of Prayer says, "Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." That's what He wants us to do. So when you feel like verses 6 through 8, again, the first thing you do is what David said in verse 16. In his refuge, David's refuge, you call upon your God. That's one of the great privileges of being saved. You take the matter to the Lord. You get alone with Him and you pour out your heart to Him. And you know something? He wants you to. Turn to look again at Psalms chapter 50 and verse 15. Call upon me. Call upon me in the day of trouble. Mark these verses. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I'll deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. He wants you to. I mean, He's our Heavenly Father. He loves us. He loves us unconditionally, doesn't He? And folks, He wants you to come to Him. And He bids you to come to Him. Psalms 57, look at verse 1, says, "Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me. Under the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed." There the Lord views Himself. You've seen birds do this before. There's some type of calamity up, and the mother bird will raise her wings up. And the little, you've seen chickens do it. Little hen or little chicks will run over and get under her wings, and she'll put her wings down around them. She's a refuge. I seen that in my backyard one time. I don't have chickens. I wouldn't know what to do with one if I had it. And I remember one day I was in my backyard, and I was studying, and there was a dove that had a little baby dove. And it had got out of its nest. I don't know how it got in my backyard, but it was in the backyard. And it was going wild. It was shook up. It was afraid. And I wanted to go over and comfort it, but every time I got near it, it went nuts. So I just pretty well figured I better sit down and not touch it. So I sat down, and it just kept on squawking and carrying on. So I tried to ignore it, and I started reading again. Before long, it just quieted down. It was just so quiet. And I looked over there, and I thought I saw two heads, and I did. I got up and I went over there, and its mother had came down. And that mother had got all the way up on top of that little bird and completely covered it. To where all was sticking out was this little head. And I said, "Thank you, Lord. That's Psalms 57:1. Live and on display in my backyard." That's what the Lord wants you to do. He's your refuge. He doesn't want you to run away. He wants you to run to Him. "Call upon me," He says, "in the day of thy trouble, and I will deliver you." Aren't you glad that we got someone we can call on? That's who I feel sorry for, is the lost in the world. In time of distress, in pressure times, who do they go to? Many of them go to the bottle. That's no answer, is it? Well, we have a God that we can go to. So when we feel like verses 6 through 8 that we want to sprout wings and fly away somewhere, we got to remember, when you feel that way, you need to just get alone. Get alone with your God. Get alone with Him. And just pour out your soul to Him and weep if you want to and talk to the Master. Hebrews chapter 4 says that we have a high priest that's touched with the feelings of our infirmities and says to come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain strength to help in time of need. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? So that's the first thing. We need to call upon Him. Call upon Him, He says in verse 16. Now look at verse 17. It says, evening, morning, and at noon. We're to be persistent. We're to be persistent. What the book of Luke chapter 18 says, we continue to pray. Sometimes the Lord wants us to pray more than once about a situation. You agree? So He says, evening and morning at noon, he prayed to the Lord. Certainly Daniel did that in the book of Daniel. Remember, he opened the window and he'd pray of the morning and he'd pray at noon and pray of the evening. So you're to pray persistently. I have prayer requests that I got things that bothers me, or of course when any of our people sick, it bothers me. Does it you? It bothers you. And I got their names down and I pray for them. Persistently, you know, and that's what He wants us to do. So He wants us to pray. He wants us to call upon Him. He wants us to pray persistently to Him. And He says in verse 22, let's go ahead and move there, then we'll come back and get the other verses. Mark this verse, cast thy what? Cast your burden upon the Lord. And He will what? He'll sustain you. That means He'll hold you up. You feel like you're about ready to fall down, He'll hold you up. Now, if you don't cast your burden, you know what's going to happen? If you don't cast your burden, what's going to happen is it's going to rob you of your joy and your strength and your peace. Does everybody know what I'm talking about? Now, if you would rather carry it yourself, I guess you can. But all it's going to do is make you miserable and everybody usually around you miserable right along with it. He wants you to cast your burden. He wants you to cast it upon Him. He wants you to take that thing that's got you weighted down and that thing that's keeping you up at night and that thing that's taking your appetite away because you're so worried about it. He wants you to take that thing and He wants you to roll that thing upon Him. Now, I realize that's easier said than done. You know, that's one of those deals that's easy preaching, but it's hard to practice. But we have a tendency many times, and I've told you many times in the past, that when we go in prayer and we got a situation, I don't like to say a situation like David's, but when we get into a pressure situation or we get overwhelmed with care, one of the things that we normally do is just when we go to pray is just go tell the Lord about it. We tell Him about it, but we don't trust Him to take care of it. Now, when I cast a burden upon the Lord, and I've mentioned this in the past to you, the reason why we a lot of times come from prayer just as worried as we went in prayer is because we're afraid He might not do what we're asking. See, I'm giving Him a review. Here's my situation. Here's the Lord like what I'd like to see done. Well, what I might like to see done might not be what's best. When I take a matter to the Master, my confidence is not in what I'm asking for. My confidence is in the Master. That He's going to do whatever's best in this particular situation. He has the ability to grant me anything that I ask, and He also has the wisdom not to. And I know that whatever I ask Him, He's going to do what is best. So I roll that thing on the Lord. You know how you know when you roll something on the Lord? He gives you peace. That's the difference. You get a peace of mind. The peace, the book of Philippians 4 says, that passes all understanding. You know, God's got it. There's just something powerful about that. I've told folks before, I've been in a situation that said, boy, that's a tough situation. How you stand that? Well, the Lord's got it. I've talked to the Master about that thing, and I've rolled that on Him, and I can't do nothing about it. I can't do nothing about it. But I know the Lord can, so I just let him take care of it. And gives you peace. So instead of wanting to sprout wings and run away, what do? You pray. You call upon the Lord's name. You're persistent, continually to go and ask the Lord until He assures you that perhaps it might not be His will. Until you know His will, you continue to pray. You continue to pray, and you cast that thing. Of course, to cast the burden involves what? How many times we said it? If I throw something at you, I'm going to throw something at you. I'm going to have to let go of it, aren't I? Casting always involves letting go. And knowing that God's going to do what is best. You see, the faith, we talk about faith in prayer. Faith's not in the prayer. Faith's in the God that you're praying to. You might be asking for something that's totally out of His will. And you know what? We wouldn't want anything out of His will anyway, would we? Whatever His will is, what's best, whether we realize it or not. So the confidence of our prayer is always in our God. Tremendous verse to remember. Cast your burden on the Lord, and He'll sustain you. He'll hold you up. And that's exactly what He wants you to do. If you don't do that, it'll weigh you down. It'll rob you of your strength, as I've said. It'll rob you of your peace and rob you of your joy. And I think it'll rob you of your worship too. It's hard to worship when you're burdened down. It'll take the song right out of you. So I don't know tonight. I don't know about you. I don't know your hearts. You might have come in here feeling like David did in verses 1 through 8. But folks, if you're saved, we have a refuge. David's talked about his refuge in verses 16 through 23. So you're to pray. You're to be persistent, and you're to cast that thing on the Lord. That's what you do when you feel like verses 6 through 8. Notice on, verse 18, He hath, half is past tense, He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me. Now, had the Lord delivered in the past David out of a lot of battles? Oh, I think whenever you're in a pressure situation, a lot of times we forget what all God has done in the past. Man, we need to draw strength from past victories. We're to draw strength from past victories. He hath delivered my soul in peace. It's good to reflect back on how, man, God delivered me here and God delivered me here. I use an illustration of this not knowing I was going to lose my job the next day. But my other job losses, I can remember my first job loss was devastating because I'd never experienced it before. I'd been at the job for 10 years, and Jesse had been at it longer than I had, and we just never did know any other job. It was devastating. It was rough. And I wasn't ready for it either. I just wasn't expecting it at all or expecting it at all. And it was rough, but you know, the Lord brought me through that. And He provided for me. I seen it. I seen how the Lord can provide. You know, you always preach the Lord can provide, but boy, when you experience it, it's just that much sweeter. It really is. And I seen how He took care of it, how He took care of me. Now, He didn't drop anything down out of heaven for me. I looked for that money. I went to the post office every day because everybody, any other preacher I heard of having a hard time, they go to the post office, there's a check here. You know what I mean? Always a check here. I didn't find a check here at all, but I found people that needed work done. That's what I found. And not nothing, you know, something cut, pulled, or lifted is always what I did. And that's what the Lord provided. The Lord provided, you know. And then I went through it again in about a year and a half. Well, you know, the second time, I drew strength from the first time. Second time, I wasn't as devastated as the first time because I knew, I seen how God took care of me. So I drew strength from that. You can draw strength from past victories. David had been in tough spots before. We've looked at several with Doeg, with the Zephites, with Goliath. So he writes here, He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle of those that were against me. Now he says a little something else in verse 18 that I love. And here's the fourth thing that you need to do when you feel like verses 6 through 8. For there were many with me. There were many with me. You know, with God in your corner, it's always a majority. God's in your corner, it's always a majority. King Hezekiah, if you'll turn to 2 Chronicles 32, use a similar phrase in there. 2 Chronicles chapter 32, I believe it is. I might have to find it. Hope I can find it. Boy, the pressure's on. Yeah, I found it. Thank God. I marked it. Yes, exactly right, brother. 7 and 8. Second Chronicles chapter 32. You talk about a pressure situation. The Assyrians had done flooded down into the... They had done conquered the northern tribes of Israel, and now they had flooded down into Judah. And the book of Isaiah prophesied that they'd do that. Matter of fact, the book of Isaiah prophesied that the Assyrian king would come all the way up to their neck. They were, using West Virginia, plumb up to their neck. They had encircled Jerusalem. About 180,000 of the meanest men on the planet was caked around his city. That was a pressure situation. You know, God delivered them, didn't he? Hezekiah did just exactly what David did. He took the letter from the king and he went in and he laid that before the Lord. Now notice what the king Hezekiah says in 32:7-8. Be strong and courageous. This is the king speaking. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him, for there be more with us than with him. That's what he says. Now how did he figure there's more with him than with the king of Assyria? Look at verse 8. With him is the arm of the flesh, but with us is the Lord our God. You see, that's always the majority. To help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. All God's people said. So another thing, when you feel like taking wings of a dove and flying away on top of praying and casting that care, on top of reminding yourself of past victories, you got to remind yourself of who's with you. I know we all know it, but we still forget it. You don't have to really pray in prayer, God be with me. He's already promised to be with you. But I do need to pray, Lord, help me be aware of your presence. I think you do need to pray that. And sometimes God's people need to remind themselves, man, when you remind yourself of who's with you, look, the King of Glory is with you. The one that spoke this world into existence in 6 24-hour days, the one that parted the Red Sea, he's with you. And folks, when you lose track that the Lord's with you, that's when you fall apart. The disciples in the boat in the book of Matthew chapter 8, they were panicked, wasn't they? The wind was contrary to them. The boat was filling with water, was beginning to sink, and on top of everything else, Jesus was asleep. They were in full panic. You ever been that way? Full panic. And when the King of Glory awoke, he was so concerned he was asleep, wasn't he? He knew the storm was coming. He's the one that sent him across. He stood up and he said, why are ye so fearful? I could give you about 7 reasons. Wind's blowing against me. The boat's filling with water. Couldn't you? But you see, there was nothing to fear as long as Jesus is in the boat, are they? He's with you. And when he's in your corner, it's always a majority. So there's many with me. All right? Verse 19, God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old Selah, because they have no changes. Therefore they fear not God. These people that were in this rebellion, they never had any hindrance to the rebellion. There was no changes. I mean, it just rolled right on. So they thought everything was going to go fine. David, the next thing David did is he turned their judgment unto the Lord. Look at verse 23. But thou, O God, shall bring them down into a pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days. But I will trust in thee. That's what you're supposed to do, folks. When you feel like taking wings and flying away from a problem that you have, Call upon the Lord. Call persistently. You cast your burden upon Him. You draw strength from the past. You remember that He is with you. And you put your trust in your God. All God's people say it. That's what you do. That's why this text is here. Well, let's back up and look at this traitor a little bit. And then we'll close. And it's already 25 after. Is that all right? It's all right. And let's go ahead and look at a little bit at this traitor. We read about this earlier. It said, verse 12, "For it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself. But it was thou." This guy had absolutely broke his heart. "It was thou, mine enemy, that reproached me. I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man of my equal, my guide, my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together, and we walked into the house of God in company." There is no one that can hurt you as bad as someone that is close to you. Now, the world can hurt you. Enemies can hurt you. But no one can hurt you as bad as someone that is close to you. And that's why this text is here. This guy hurt David. He said, we'd walked in, they had went to worship services together. They had worshiped at the temple together. Folks, that's devastating. That's devastating when it happens in churches. There's people at home tonight, Wednesday nights, in churches all across the land that were severely hurt by a friend or a brother or a sister in church. That's why they're home. And they have never been able to this day to get over it. And you could go to them. Now, I'm not justifying what they're doing. The Lord never done nothing to them. They need to continue to serve Him and then work those differences out. But you'd be surprised at the number of people that have been hurt in churches and they never get over it. It was a trusted friend. It was someone they had a lot of respect for. And they hurt them severely. And they have never been able to get over it. When it's someone that is close, when it's someone that you've worshipped with like here, the cut and the hurt from that can be so devastating that it lasts in some people for a lifetime. It really can. Now, they shouldn't let it do them that way, of course. As I said, the Lord didn't do anything. But it can be that bad. And certainly, this man, Ahithophel, it had a devastating effect upon David's heart whenever he heard it was him. Now, Ahithophel had a bad end. He had a bad end. What Ahithophel wanted to do, his counsel was to take men just as soon as he got there. He give Absalom two counsels. One counsel was David left behind 10 concubines, and they throwed him a tent up on top of one of the buildings there, and he committed adultery with all 10 of those women. They were David's concubines. He did it before all of Israel, the Bible says. That's what God said would happen in 2 Samuel 12. He said, you did it secretly, but it'll be brought before all the people in all of Israel. And that was the fulfillment of that. That was at the counsel of Ahithophel that happened. Secondly, he counseled to take a group of men with him leading them to go after David immediately. To go after him now while he's hurting, and you can bring him down. Was that good counsel? That was excellent counsel. He had another counsel that David had sent there named Hushea, and he said, no, he's like a bear robbed of her cubs. Don't go after him. He's got his mighty men with him. You hold off for a while. And that's what David needed. And they took the counsel of Hushea and rejected Ahithophel's counsel, and he went out and hanged himself. He went out and hanged himself. Mind you, somebody else, doesn't it? Who does it remind you of? Judas Iscariot. They both had the same end to their life. They both hung themselves. Now, There are a lot of similarities between Ahithophel and Judas. Both were betrayers. Both weren't really true. Ahithophel pretended his loyalty to David, then showed what he really was at the end, and so did Judas. Many times people use Judas as an example of someone that was saved and then become lost. Anytime I deal with, but I don't believe you lose your salvation, he's always used as an example of someone that had it and lost it. Folks, Jesus knew what he was all along. In the Gospel of John chapter 6, he said, I've chosen you 12 and one of you is a devil. In John chapter 10, it says that he was a thief. When he washed the disciples' feet, he said, you're all clean. I mean, you're clean, but not all of you are. And the Bible says this, speaking of Judas. Judas never was, folks. He never was saved. And then he says in the book of Matthew, it would have been better for that man, Matthew 26, if he had never been born. So he was a betrayer. How did Judas end? The same way as Ahithophel. They both hung themselves. Okay? Well, that's the passage that deals with the traitor, the betrayer. Let's all stand.